Is your heart filled with thankfulness this morning for the goodness of the Lord? A little later, we're going to be gathering around the Lord's table. This is a family meal for Christians. It's not for unbelievers, but it's for believers. We gather around and we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we always want to make sure that we are a Christian. So the question, are you a Christian? And how do you know? Going to the Shepherd's Conference, I get lots of books. And I begin to read some, and then I find another one, and then I'm reading another one. And I found this one this week. It says, Am I Really a Christian? The foreword is by Kirk Cameron. It's by the Nine Marks Ministry. And listen to the titles of the chapters. Chapter 1, You're Not a Christian Just Because You Say You Are. That's an interesting one. 2, You're not a Christian if you haven't been born again. 3, You're not a Christian just because you like Jesus. You are not a Christian if you enjoy sin. You are not a Christian if you do not endure to the end. You are not a Christian if you don't love other people. You are not a Christian if you love your stuff. And they ask the question, is this book mean-spirited? And then, can I ever really know if I'm a Christian? The answer is, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And today, we're going to be talking about a topic that perhaps is often neglected, and that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some people or some churches are like the disciples of John. They say, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Our pastor never preaches on it. Well, we preach through the Scriptures. And when it talks about the Holy Spirit, we preach on the Holy Spirit. And today, we're preaching on the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. And one of the ways that we know that we're really a Christian is because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. It's as if he were the representative of the Godhead. And as we learned last week about the triune God, that the triune God, they are one. And so if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us, we also have the Father and the Son living within us. Because we have God in us. And being a Christian is the life of God in the soul of a man. It's a work of the Holy Spirit regenerating us and creating in us new life. So today we come to verses 9 through 11. And this chapter is on our assurance in Christ. Romans chapter 8. And it starts off, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, there's no longer any condemnation. There will be judgments. We're judged every day by God, but no condemnation. Spankings, chastisements, yes, but no ultimate judgment, because the judgment was put upon Christ on the cross. Our sins were laid on Jesus. He died in our place. And so it talks about here how this law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And we couldn't keep the law, and so God sent his Son to keep the law. And then his Son took the penalty in dying for us on the cross. And then it showed us the difference here last week or 2 weeks ago. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the things of the flesh, and that's death. But those who have their minds on the Spirit, that's life and peace. And verse 7 said, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot do that. And those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Because they're not walking by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God, as we read earlier. But now we come to verse 9 today, and it says, you, however, he's talking to the Christians in Rome, and he says, you, however, are different. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you're a Christian, of course, the Spirit of God does dwell in you. And then he adds, anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him. So this is a necessity. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living within you, you're not a Christian. You need to have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And so as we look at this passage, we want to look at three things. First is, who is this Holy Spirit? Second, whose is the Holy Spirit? In other words, who belongs to him? And third, what does the Holy Spirit do? So that's our threefold outline here. And the first one is, who is the Holy Spirit? And he's called here the Spirit of God. And then in the same verse, he's called the Spirit of Christ. Whose Spirit is he? Yes. Both. He's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit of Christ. He's the Holy Spirit of the triune God. There is unity in the Trinity. He is not identical with the Father. He's not identical with the Son, but he's one with them in essence, and he's inseparable from them. He's described by Jesus when Jesus was going to be ascended into heaven. He said, the Holy Spirit's coming, the promise of the Father. He's the one that the Father has promised to send. In Ephesians 1:13, he's also called that Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus said in John 14:16 that the Holy Spirit was given by the Father. In John 15:26, Christ says, I'll send the Holy Spirit from the Father. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. And in John 16:7, Jesus says, I send the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we learned last week on Trinity Sunday. And the Holy Spirit is a person. There are some people who try to claim that the Holy Spirit is a force. He's not a person. That is false teaching. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is a person? Well, he acts as a person. He has the attributes of personality. He's treated like a person. And masculine pronouns are used of him. These are some of the reasons why we believe that he is a person. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture. We'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, it says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. God is the person who knows the thoughts of God. He is a person. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Here's a picture of the giving out of gifts to the Christians. The Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift. It's according to his will. Well, if he has a will, then he's a person. Back in Romans chapter 15, right at the very near the end of the book of Romans, notice what it says in verse 30. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. There we go. The Holy Spirit loves. A force does not love. The wind doesn't love me. An earthquake doesn't love me. The Holy Spirit loves us because he's a person in the Godhead. Look at Acts 13:2. Acts 13:2. They're seeking the Lord together, and the Lord decides that something needs to be done here. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is at Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, do you hear that? The Holy Spirit speaks. He's got a voice. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. He spoke to them, and he calls people to do certain things. There's a calling. This is the work of a person, the Holy Spirit of God. The same thing as Justin's been going through a revelation for us. And in Revelation 2:7, like other places, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God, and he's a person, and we are to listen to what he says. By the way, have you ever heard of a force praying? The Holy Spirit prays. Later on in this chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. That means he's praying for us with groanings too deep for words. He's a person. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter, and Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You don't lie to a force. You lie to a person. Again, in the same chapter here of Romans 8, verse 27, it says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit has a mind. There it is again. In John 15, 26, Jesus said, the Spirit will testify of me. You ever see in court that they call the wind in to testify? Well, they might, but that's not the usual way of doing it. That would be seen by its effects, not by its speech. Okay? And in 14, 26 of John, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll give you instruction. He's a person. Also in Isaiah 63:10 and again in Ephesians 4:30, it says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Think about that for a moment. We're going to come back to that a little later, but you know, grief is a term of love again, and the Holy Spirit loves us, and when we're going our own way instead of following him, he is grieved. So this is who the Holy Spirit is. He's the part of the triune Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, truly a person, one with the Father and the Son and proceeding from them and coming to us. And the one who we just cry out to that he would pour out his power and blessing upon our churches. May God hear that cry. But the second thought is this, whose is the Holy Spirit? Who belongs to the Holy Spirit? Who possesses the Holy Spirit? Or whom does the Holy Spirit possess? The answer is all true believers. All true believers. You can't be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit living within you. That's what this passage is talking about. He dwells in us. We've been purchased. And having been purchased, we now are a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So our bodies are a temple of the living God, and it's the Holy Spirit who's the one who's living within us. And so we are to be in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Here in verse 9 of Romans 8 again, it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So as believers, we're not living in the flesh. That's the unbelievers. That doesn't mean we fail from time to time. We do that, and we have to confess that. But this is the work that God does in us. He's dwelling within us. And so we're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. And as at the end of verse 9 says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So, making your calling and election sure, do you know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you? Is he living in me? If he is, there's nothing that can separate you from God. That's how this chapter is going to end. Because we have the love of God in Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from this love of God. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's by being in the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:22, it's in him that we're being built together as a dwelling place by God, by the Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:14, he reminds us again, the Holy Spirit is the one who dwells within you. God has not given us a different kind of spirit, a spirit of fear, or other kind of spirit. He's given us the Spirit of himself. And so verse 10 goes on here and says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit lives within us. That's our life. The life that we have is life in the Spirit. It's called spiritual life. And without the Holy Spirit working in us, we are none of His. And that's where it says in John 14:23 that Jesus said, not only will the Spirit come, but the Father and I will come and join Him, and we will all live within you. And what a joyful thought that is, to have the triune God living within us. Well, that brings us to our third thing, which is simply this. What does the Holy Spirit do then? Well, He lives within us, right? That's the first thing, the important thing that is mentioned in this passage. Notice what it says in verse 10 again. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Although the body is dead because of sin. You're a Christian. You have the Spirit of the living God living within you, and yet you have a dead body? Am I still here? What does that mean? Well, God told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die, and death is within us. From the very point of being born, we're dying. As the Scripture says, it's appointed unto everyone once to die. It's going to happen. We're dead men walking, but now we have the living Christ in us, and we have life in this dead body. Yes, that's what it's saying here. The body is dead because of sin, the sinfulness. It's killing us. By the way, the older you get, the more you're feeling it. Okay? Some of you say, well, I haven't experienced too much of that. Well, how'd you feel last Tuesday morning? You know what I'm talking about. If you were out at the picnic running around all day on Monday, you were feeling it Tuesday morning, even if you were younger, unless you had the secret remedy. But the Holy Spirit dwells in this dead body, and while death is reigning in our bodies, yet we have life, it says, because of righteousness. And the righteousness is not our own righteousness. It's an alien righteousness. It's a righteousness that we receive from Jesus Christ. All of our righteousness, the Scripture says, we don't have any. It's just like filthy rags. We try to do good things and we try to earn our way to heaven, and it'll never work. Nobody can earn their way to heaven. And yet that's the religion of the world. That's the religion of every religion of the world. Doing your best and you'll make it somehow, and everybody's going to make it. No, they're not. Nobody's going to make it apart from Christ. and the righteousness of Christ that we receive by faith in becoming born again. So he indwells us. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, some of you may have a different translation there, and it may say the spirit is alive. Okay? So some versions say the spirit is life. Others say the spirit is alive. What's the difference? Is there a difference? Well, the word is life. And usually if you translate it, the spirit is life, that would refer to the Holy Spirit. But some people say, well, if the Spirit is life, that means it's alive. That means it's referring to the human spirit. So which is it? Well, you can find godly people that will take it both ways. Take it one way or the other. So it could be either one. Either one could be absolutely true. So some say the spirit is alive, referring to the human spirit. Others say the spirit is life. He's the one who gives life to our mortal bodies. And of course, really both are true. And which specifically this is referring to, you can decide. It's not real clear. I've gone back and forth. I've preached it both ways. Now I've learned it. We have life. The life is because of the Spirit, and because of the Spirit, we have spiritual life. Okay? Sometimes I think God leaves it generally speaking so that we can get the fullness of it. It was sort of like going through Hosea 11 this morning. I think there were three different places where there was a variance in the way you could translate the Hebrew, because the Hebrew is not real clear all the time. And you could take it different ways, but that's okay. It gives you a more clear understanding as you look at it both ways. But we continue on here, and it says in verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Well, doesn't it say the Father raised Jesus from the dead? Yes. Didn't it say Jesus raised himself? He said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to raise it up again. Yes. Again, we're reminded this is a triune God. They always work together. In the creation, who created? They all did, because they're all working together. They're one. In salvation, who's working? They're all working, because they are one. And here it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies. And so even our mortal bodies that are dying and have death within them have life, because the Spirit is dwelling within us. Our bodies die because of sin, but the Spirit's giving us life because of the new birth, because we have been born again. Well, if we have the Spirit of the living God living within us, what a great life it ought to be, right? It ought to be a great, wonderful life. Life in the Spirit. But then we have reality. And we say, but didn't go too well this week. Had a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties. Why is that? Well, earlier we mentioned that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Well, you can think about it. What's it like when you've grieved somebody else? All of a sudden, the relationship isn't quite right, is it? It's like, they're not real happy with me because of something I did. If we've grieved the Holy Spirit, what do we need to do? Well, we need to confess our sin and run back to the Lord. That's what we need to do. Have you done that lately? It ought to be a daily occurrence, but have you done that lately? Can you remember the last time you confessed your sins to God? And if you can't, why are you wondering why things are going so lousy? This isn't the Christian life I'm supposed to be having. Where is the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the self-control? Where is it all? If you grieve the Holy Spirit, why do you expect it to be going well? In fact, over in 1 Thessalonians 5, he also adds, and don't quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to be like a fire within you, burning and purifying and giving life, really, being on fire. But all of a sudden, the candle's gotten kind of low, and you've gone, and you're quenching it. Because the Holy Spirit's trying to convict you. And instead, you're extinguishing Him, you're stifling Him, you're retarding what He wants to do in your life. And I see this in my own life. I see this in all of our lives. And we need to realize that the Holy Spirit wants to work in a mighty way in our lives. If we will come and humble ourselves before Him and acknowledge our own sinfulness and seek Him fresh, seek Him anew, and cry out for the outpouring of His Spirit upon our lives and hearts. He's more than willing. He loves you more than you love yourself, which is pretty hard. And He's willing to do anything for us if we are willing to humble ourselves. Oh, what a great need we have to learn to humble ourselves and turn to the Lord and to seek Him. He wants to sanctify us. In fact, the Scripture teaches that as soon as we're justified in the sight of God, being born again, He starts the process of sanctification, and we know the truth. The truth is that He who began a good work will complete it. We are going to become sanctified. We're going to be set apart as holy to God. He's going to finish the work. But if we're not cooperating very well, it can be very difficult along the way. Are you learning to cooperate with God? Are you learning to love Him, to spend time with Him, to seek Him, to worship Him in prayer? And when you come here, it's not just to try to look good for everybody else. It's just to humble your heart and say, Lord, teach me. Encourage me and help me to love all these other people. Help me to be a blessing to them. Sometimes people go to church and they leave and they say, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, you're not supposed to get anything out of it. You're supposed to put something into it. Okay? Think about that. It's not about you. This is what's wrong with life. We think it's all about us. And it's not. It's about God. And the impact He wants to have in and through us in the lives of other people. May God help us. We need some repenting, confessing sin, seeking the Lord. But if you're here today without the Spirit of God within you, you need just to come to Christ and say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Come and save me. Save me. Jesus, save me. You're the Savior. Jesus said, if anyone will come to me, I won't cast him out. Come to Him, plead for mercy. Confess your sin, and He will receive you. May God help us all. Let's bow for prayer. Father, the reminder here of the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's the one who gives us life. But if we're not really experiencing the life that we ought to be experiencing, it's because we're not obeying. Forgive us our sinfulness. Help us to learn to walk in obedience. And may Jesus Christ be glorified in our midst. And if there's anyone who doesn't know You, help them to call out for mercy this day, for the Lord Jesus to come and save them by His Spirit. And now prepare our hearts for this time of proclaiming the Lord's death and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.